Great, great job. Great song. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Psalms 57. The book of the Psalms, Psalm 57. We have been in a series of messages on the inspiration for God's hymn book. We've shared many times in the context of what the Psalms were. The Psalms, a vast majority indeed, were literally hymns that the Jews would sing when they'd make their pilgrimage treks back to the temple. Yearly, year after year, they would do that. They would put to music, and they would sing these. A majority of the Psalms David wrote. And what's interesting, when you study these out, you'll find that David wrote these Psalms a lot of different aspects of his life, a lot of different time periods of his life. We've looked at one already, in the sense that David was writing from a horrible pit. And tonight, we're going to look at a psalm that David wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God while he was in a cave. Saul, they seem to think that this particular portion of Scripture, David is running for his life from King Saul for a period, I believe, about 3 years, and he is running for his life. Saul wants him dead. God had already, through Samuel, God had already anointed David to be the next king of Israel. And Saul was jealous, and Saul hated David. He was a very insecure leader. If you ever want to know, you'll hear me say every now and then, you'll hear me use that phrase, the danger of a secure leader. A secure leader is a danger to themselves. They're a danger to the people under them that they lead. And Saul was such type of an individual. He eyed David, the Bible says. They'd come in from battle. David had killed Goliath, and as they come in from battle one day, Saul and David are there, and the women come out in the street, and they're yelling, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And you can imagine the anger that filled in the heart of Saul. There's a passage in the book of 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel, I believe it was, that tells us that literally from that moment on, Saul eyed David. He viewed him literally with suspicion. And we also know that because God was with David, the Bible tells us, because God was with David, Saul hated David. He couldn't stand the fact that God was with him. He was a very jealous individual. He's a very insecure man. And he sought to take care of Saul. He sought to take care of David. You're scaring me. What do you need, buddy? Do I need a new battery? All right, I need a new battery. All right, we're going to start over. So forget what you heard already. That is our handsome, kind sound man there. I always pick on him, so I got to take the time to encourage him tonight. But Saul was he hated David. He wanted David dead. So David, though, being a man of integrity, being a man of character, David would not touch God's anointed. He had an opportunity to kill Saul, but yet he would not touch God's anointed. And you'll see why that comes into play in this psalm. So David flees to a cave, perhaps the cave of Adullam. There's actually two caves described for us that we notice in David's life as he's running for his life from Saul. And maybe it's in this cave of Adullam that David pens this portion of Scripture, writes about this portion, that he writes about that experience in Psalm 57. So if you will, in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word, please stand. The inspiration for God's hymn book. God is a God of music. The Lord Jesus has a lot to say about music. And there is music that indeed gives glory and honor to Him. That's why, by the way, that's why music was created, to give God glory. Everything that was created was to give God glory. So, just a thought there. Verse 1, the Bible says of Psalm 57, David writes, he says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me." Very repetitive significance of repetition here. "For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me. But notice what happened. Into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Father, we ask now you'll bless the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, God, truly be our teacher and our guide. And God will praise you for what you're going to do in our midst tonight. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The inspiration of God's hymn book. We find now that David is writing this portion about his experience in a cave. He's in a cave in this passage. This psalm was a psalm of David, as we've stated, when he fled from Saul. Evidently, the earlier years in the life of David, probably this reference to the experience that he had as he's literally running for his life. And I've tried, and I really hope that you'll get a sense and hopefully really feel, if you allow yourself, to perhaps some things that David was feeling. Can you imagine the emotional toll? Can you imagine the anguish? Can you imagine the despair that would have flooded his soul for those 3 years of him literally running for his life? It would be like perhaps the president of our country issuing a death warrant for you. You could imagine that there would not, they would, that his special agents would search high and low and would look over under every nook and cranny and under every rock to try to find you and put you to death. You say, yeah, but preacher, God was on the side of David and God was protecting David. Yes, we know. But ladies and gentlemen, I think as far as in the context of humanly speaking, it still was a very difficult time for David. Amen. It still was very difficult. It still was a time of anguish. I mean, can you imagine living in a cave and fleeing to a cave? Somebody said, when you think about living in a cave, we don't go looking to live in a cave. Sometimes you fall into them. Sometimes circumstances push you there. But in the context of our lives, there may be some caves that, some reasons that maybe you're in that type of a situation tonight. Maybe tonight you say, preacher, I'll be honest, I'm overwhelmed. To be honest, there are things in my life that I just feel like I'm surrounded by just so much agony and so much anguish. Right in the cave experience, God gave David a song. And that's what's so wonderful. Listen, what's so awesome about our God is that even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of anguish, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of sorrow, the Lord Jesus Christ can give his grace, mercy, and truth into our lives. It inspires a song. What do we see David? What do we see David doing? What does he talk about? What does he write about in this psalm? Well, I want us to kind of go through this and notice some things. We're going to use some of the very words right out of this text. As David, this inspiration for God's hymn book, this is part, Psalm 57 indeed, is part of the complete canonicity of Scripture. It's a part of the inspired word of God. God literally wanted David to write this psalm. He inspired David to write this psalm. And one of the things you'll find, I'm not an English buff, but one of the things you'll find as you go through this, notice the personal pronouns that David uses to describe his God. If I counted right, I think there's 20. There may be 21. Melissa, you know a lot better than I would. But I think there's about 20 or 21 just personal pronouns that he uses to describe his God. Another thing else about this psalm is you will find that this psalm is filled and saturated with God's power, with God's presence. So David, God says, David, write about it. Write about, David, how I took care of you. Write about how I watched over you. Write about how I manifested my grace. Manifested, and David even says it twice in this passage, how I manifested my mercy in your life and truth in your life, David. Write about it. And this is going to be part of Scripture that would be forever told for thousands and thousands of years about how God took care of David in the midst of his cave experience. As we notice a couple of things, notice first of all, what does David talk about? Notice the calamities that disturbed him. The calamities that disturbed him. He uses that word calamities there in verse number 1. He says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. I tell you what, I've been captivated and really just overwhelmed in a good way with a study on the mercy of God. The unmerited favor, the fact that God gives us what we don't deserve. The fact that God, you know, not only gives us grace, and we thank God and we shout to the highest about the grace of God, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense, but then to also know that not only does he give grace to us as his children in Christ, he gives mercy to us. David said in another psalm that he literally was encamped. He was surrounded, literally what that meant. He was surrounded by mercy. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you indeed are surrounded by the mercy of God. The calamities that disturbed him, he says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities, look at this now, until these calamities be overpassed, literally passed by. David understood in the context of refuge, refuge was not in a place. Refuge was in a person, amen? His refuge wasn't in a cave. His refuge wasn't in the wilderness. His refuge was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we that know Jesus as our Savior, if you're born again here tonight, by that meaning that there was a point in your life that you repented of your sin, and that you called upon God to be your Savior, that you trusted in Christ, believing in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord, and God has saved you. And you could shout as well as David to know that David understood that as far as refuge, as far as this hiding place, as far as his safety was found in Jesus Christ the Lord. Be merciful, he says to God. Twice he says it. Be merciful unto me. It is repeated for emphasis. It means that David is really overwhelmed. It literally means he's under it. It means he's just about to go down under. He's calling out to God in desperation for mercy. He's asking God to come to his aid. Many times we start our prayers that way, don't we? You ever have times in your life that you're so overwhelmed, you just don't know what to do? You say, sure, preacher, we all could say that. But the good news is, the wonderful news is tonight, that even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of cave-type experiences, God cares about us. Amen? He loves us. You know, I've had people say over the years, preacher, how if God is a God of love, how can God allow? And you could finish the sentence. Well, I've never tried to speak for God necessarily. I mean, I preach the Word of God, but I'm not going to say I know exactly how God thinks. But one thing I know about my Lord, on the authority of the Bible, is nothing can come into my life that God does not allow. Amen? Nothing can come into my life that God does not allow. I'll be honest with you, humanly speaking, and we've talked a lot, my brother, humanly speaking, there have been times in my life that I think to myself, God, I don't know why you've allowed it. And I don't understand, God, why you allow what you allow. But here's my prayer. Lord, give us grace. Give us the grace and strength to be able to make it through this. You say, preacher, you make it sound like, I mean, yeah, but aren't there times, you know, I mean, shouldn't we, as God's children, shouldn't when we go through trials, shouldn't we with a smile on our face and shout in our lips, shouldn't we just say, praise God for the trial? I've never done that. I've done it at the end of, amen. I've done it as the Lord Jesus has brought us through it. But there are often times where you just have to sit back and say, Lord Jesus, may you be glorified in this. May you give grace and strength. There's been many times with tears in eyes, saints of God have cried and prayed, as we'll see in this passage unfold in the next couple of Sunday nights. Lord Jesus, may we not waste this trial. God, you're allowing this. You're allowing this to come into our lives. You're allowing this. You say, yeah, but preacher, I mean, Saul was a lunatic. Why would God allow Saul to be so crazy to want David dead and pursue him for so many years? Why would God allow that? You ready for the answer? I've done some study. I've done some research. You know why God would allow that? You ready for this? Because he's God. That's why. And we're not. We're not God. We don't know his. You know, his thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. But here's what we do. So what do we do? What do we do when we dig into this? What did David pray? What were some of the things that he prayed? I want to. There's some beautiful imagery in this one verse of verse 1. He says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. The Bible speaks much about the wings In the book of Ruth chapter 2, it talks about the shadow of the Lord's wings. In the book of Psalms 91 verse 4, it speaks of it again. Look at Psalm 91 for a minute. Just turn over there. Verse 1, we'll start. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Amen. And my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers. And under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The Lord Jesus Christ, hold your place back in Psalm 57. Go now to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew chapter 23. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about, uses this illustration. He uses this picture of feathers and wings and in the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, talking about the nation of Israel. And in Matthew chapter 23, give you a minute to turn there. Verse 37, he uses an illustration of a mother hen and her little baby chicks. Growing up in Kentucky, my little grandmother had a lot of chickens. I never will forget, she used to order them. I think it was a Sears and Roebuck catalog. She'd order baby chickens. And one year she ordered 100 little baby chickens. And my granddaddy had to go to the post office and pick up those little, there was two boxes of them and a little bitty cardboard box that had a bunch of holes in it so they could breathe. And, of course, we brought them home. And, man, she raised them up. You say, why did she raise those chickens up? To kill them and eat them. Amen. That's why she did it. So that ruins my whole sermon. But anyway, but I remember her doing this. And as a little kid, you know, you're watching these chickens and stuff, and of course she's feeding them and giving them water and all that. And then the day came to put them out into the chicken coop with the rest of the chickens. I also remember that she had a lot of laying chickens, and she had a lot of chickens that she would allow to set on the eggs. And then those eggs would hatch, and they would be, you know, the little baby chicks. And we had a lot down home. We had a lot of, you know, you had hawks and all that kind of stuff. And even though they were in a pen, it was pretty phenomenal to watch this. Because if a hawk was flying over or an owl or something that was a danger and a threat to those chickens, she'd make a noise. She'd make a little cluck or whatever. And those little chickens, those little baby chicks, no matter where they were in the pen, they literally would run and get under her wings. Now, here's what's the point. The point of that was, if you're going to get to those chickens, you got to get through mama chicken. Amen? So when you come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, He exposits a little bit more, expounds a little bit more, and He uses this illustration in verse 37 of Matthew 23. Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. You know the nation of Israel as far as in the context of the Old Testament. For thousands of years, for 4,000 years, God had sent prophet after prophet to the nation of Israel. Many of them lost their life because of they were pointing that a Messiah would come. They were telling them that Jesus would come. You come to the New Testament and Jesus Christ even comes on the scene and they reject Him because He didn't come the way they thought He should come. So Jesus is now, He's using an imagery to explain in kind of detail for us His relationship and what He would have done for them. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered my children? Or how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. So you come back to the Psalm 57, and David is using some of the same imagery to describe his relationship to the Lord. What does David pray in this calamities that disturbed David? What was his prayer? Well, three things he prays for, and I'm going to give them to you as we go through this. In verse 1, David is praying, Lord Jesus, hide me. Lord God, hide me. He says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. If you can imagine, allow your mind to see that mama chicken. Man, she would get fired up. You know, I remember even walking into the chicken coop. If there was little baby chicks around and a mama hen was there, buddy, she wouldn't let you get near them. She would try her best to fight you off, even though you know you weren't meaning her harm. She felt threatened for her babies. And David is telling the Lord Jesus, he's asking God in a prayer, even though he's hiding in the cave, perhaps of Adullam. He says, God, will you hide me? Have there ever been times you prayed that? Have there ever been times in your life that you just really wanted God to hide you? He tells about these calamities that were overtaking him. And he says, you know what? In the shadow of thy wings, verse 1, will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Overpassed, passed by. There's a song, it's been a long time since I've sung it. It says, keep me safe till the storm passes by. There are some times in life, many times in life, you just have to rest in the Lord Jesus and literally just kind of nestle up under the shadow of his wings. So, preach, that's a pretty powerful picture. Well, he's a pretty powerful God. Amen? He's a pretty powerful God. You say, Pastor, there are some times, I'll be honest, that I get mad at God, and there are some times, that I'll be honest with you, I just don't know why God would allow me to come through some of the things that I've come through. Well, here's what I know about my Lord. When you cannot fill in the blanks and you don't have all the answers, one thing that you can do, and we see this in verse 1, one thing that you can do when you don't understand it all, get close to him. Get closer to him. Can you picture those little chickens, those little baby chicks? They're out. I mean, picture that. I mean, it's very, very vivid. They're out in that little chicken coop. Even though our chicken coop would go out and, man, had a big long cage probably from here to halfway back on the sanctuary floor. Maybe not as wide as one half of the sanctuary. Even though there was wire above them, nobody could get to them, nothing could get to them. They would be playing, they'd be, you know, pecking around, and they would be away from their mom. She'd make one noise. She'd see danger. She would hint danger. She'd make one noise, and they would come running. Did they come running asking questions? No. No, they would come running. Why? Because, here it is. What is Jesus using this illustration for? They would come running because they knew that was the safest place to be. Amen? When it comes to our Lord and Savior, we may not always understand it. As a matter of fact, if I study my Bible correctly, I do not see in Scripture where we have to always understand it. I don't see that. One thing I do see in Scripture is we cannot make sense of it all and we cannot understand it. We trust in Him. He's got this. Amen? He's got this. He works all things out for my good and for His glory. So David is praying, God, hide me. But then in verse 2, his prayer is, God, hear me. Look at verse 2. I will cry unto God, Most High. Unto God that performeth all things for me. He's asking God to hear him. Lord Jesus, hide me. But Lord Jesus, please hear me. Sometimes in life, let's just be honest. Sometimes in life, humanly speaking, it doesn't seem like God hears, does he? Oh, it doesn't make you unspiritual to agree with that statement. It makes you human. Sometimes in life, it seems like with every phone call, some travesty happens. With every phone call, something is happening. But you know what's great about our God? And Stephen alluded to this morning. As he was giving some comments on the Hebrew study. What's great about our God is we now, because of Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary through his death, burial, and resurrection, the veil of the temple was torn in twain from the top to the bottom. I've heard preachers say it was torn in twain from the top to the bottom because if it was from the bottom to the top, man could have done that. But only God could do it from the top to the bottom. And what that does, that now signifies that now there's access into the Holy of Holies. That veil separated man from God. That veil separated man literally from the very presence of God. the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant was inside the veil in that Holy of Holies. But now that veil now is torn in half, and now we have access. And because we have access as God's children, we don't have to, listen, we don't have to pray through a preacher. Amen? We don't have to pray through a priest, an earthly priest. We can come before God because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us of our sins, and we now have access to God. He is our great high priest, and we can come to him. You say, preacher, I just don't know what to say when I come to God. Tell him what's on your heart. Amen? Talk to him like he's the best friend that he really is to you. It's easy to talk to best friends, isn't it? I don't have any problem talking to Brother Andy and Brother Jeff. I don't have any problems talking to Brother Stephen. I don't have any problems talking to him. Why? Because they're my friends. I love them. I care about them. And it's easy to talk to them. Now, Brother Jeff and Brother Andy, they're crazy. And they ain't much to look at. But they're my friends. And we can talk. We talk about everything. But you know, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, sometimes we can make it, we can work ourselves up so much to think that we can't talk to him like we would a friend. Well, the Bible tells us about Jesus. Here's another character trait about your Lord. The Bible says that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's a pretty close relationship, amen? Somebody said, what is a friend? Somebody said that a friend is someone who is somebody that walks in when everybody else walks out. Well, my Savior, he never walks out. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's there. He's there when I need him. He's an amazing God. Lord, hear me. And then lastly, it's really kind of an introduction to this. We'll dig more into it next week because there's a lot of stuff in here. He's praying, God, help me. Lord, hide me. What do you do when calamities disturb you? What do you do when the rug gets pulled out from under you? What do you do? He's praying, God, help me. Look at verse 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. You know, because we've preached through a lot of psalms that have the word Selah in it. It was a musical pause. It means literally to stop and ponder. It means to stop and think about that. David's now talked to God. He's asked God to hide him for protection. He's asked God to hear him for provision. But he's now asked God to help him. Lord Jesus, I need your help. Have you ever had to pray that? Lord Jesus, I need your help in my marriage. Lord Jesus, I need your help in my parenting. It's not uncommon. It's not uncommon for me and my wife to talk to young couples who have little kids. And they're just overwhelmed by it. And we were sharing with one not too long ago recently. And I said to her, I said, well, her and her husband, and she goes, preacher, we just don't know what to do. And I was like, well, I said, we have three children. I said, one of our children, I won't mention her by name, but one of our little kids, when she was little, she was a stubborn little youngin. And I said, discipline. I said, we've disciplined our children, not beat our children, but we've disciplined our children. And there were times in our life that, man, you at the end of the day, you can ask my wife this, at the end of the day, we would cry. Lord, it just seems like we're not making a difference. Lord, it just seems like, are you boys hearing me? Toby's pointing to Cameron. Cameron's pointing to, Lord Jesus, we just don't know. Ready for this one? We were young parents. We were kids ourselves, and we'd say, God, we don't have a clue what we're doing. We're trying to raise these kids up for you. We're trying to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of you, Lord Jesus. And we need your help. And you know what? God helps us. Amen. He helps us. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me that God is interested in our being parents? You better believe it. God is very interested in your parenting. Amen? If I understand my Bible correctly, and I think I do on this, he gave you those children. Literally, those children are heritages of the Lord Jesus. And those kids are gifts of Jehovah. That's what the word heritage means in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word heritage. They're gifts of Jehovah God. And David, it's like David is crying out, God, will you help me? He'll help you. You say, preacher, I'm in a cave right now, a financial cave. What do I do? Cry out to God. He'll help you. Oh, preacher, but pastor, you don't understand. I've created this mess. Well, here's what I know about my God. Even when we create messes in our life, he's there to help us. Amen? I'm thankful that God, the God that we serve, is not like a lot of people and the mentality that a lot of people have. A lot of people have the mentality as well, they made their bed, let them lie in it. Well, the God that I serve gives not only grace, he gives mercy. And when we mess up or we blow it, he's a God that if we cry to him, we come to him, and we ask him to help us, he'll help you. He'll help you. And then David says, verse 3, and I'm going to end on this verse. He shall send from heaven. Wow. You get that? He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah, God, look what God's going to send David. God shall send forth his mercy and truth. There's a verse also in the Old Testament that says, buy the truth and sell it not. Mercy and truth. David, in this aspect of his life, in this cave experience of his life, you know what David was going to hold on to? He's going to hold on to mercy, and he's going to hold on to the truth of God's word. How did he hold on to mercy? There was an opportunity that David had to kill Saul. How would you as a human being, how would you feel if a person that has already tried to kill you a couple of times, wants you dead, has all of the hosts that he has to his armies looking for you to kill you, and all of a sudden you come across him at night and he wakes up and you have an opportunity to kill him in his sleep? What kept David? What kept David from killing Saul? God's mercy and God's truth. David says, I'll not touch God's anointed. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. Here's what we do sometimes in life. We want to run ahead of God. And just on a very personal note, just hear my heart tonight. We want to run ahead of the Lord. Over the years, my wife, you can ask my wife this. Over the years, there have been times in my ministry, and I'm not saying this bragging on myself. I'm saying this bragging on Jesus. There have been times in my ministry as a preacher, as a pastor, where I've had my wife, I've had others say, preacher, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do it now, you better take care of this. But I didn't have peace about it. I've tried to be a preacher, honestly, from by my heart. I've tried to be a pastor that wouldn't do things unless he had peace about it. And I say that not braggadociously. I say that because there was early on in my ministry, I ran ahead of the Lord and I did things, didn't have the peace of God, and man, it was a mess. And I've often said to my wife, I said, no. I said, trust me, humanly speaking. I said, I know humanly speaking, it would be the right thing humanly speaking to do. I said, but I just don't have peace about it. I said, I really sincerely, truly believe God's going to take care of it. The Lord Jesus is going to work. The Lord Jesus is going to manifest his power, and God's going to use this. My timing isn't God's timing. God's timing isn't my timing, to which I'm thankful that it isn't. God sees the beginning. He sees the ending. He sees the beginning, but he also sees the ending of a situation. And he comes in, and he grants mercy and grace in situations. You say, Pastor, well, what does it have to do with the context of this message? David, for those few years that he was running for his life, and let me speak into your life and speak into your heart tonight, if you'll allow me to. For those few years that David ran for his life, he was going to develop a relationship with God that he could not have gotten any other place. In the caves, in the horrible pits, David was going to learn about learn an aspect of how God is, and a special special relationship that he would have with his God in the midst of those difficult circumstances. You say, preacher, yeah, but those valleys aren't fun. You're absolutely right. No valley is fun. We always want to be on the mountaintop, don't we? Humanly, it's good to be on the mountaintop. We hear songs and Christian songs, and there's a lot of even Christian evangelists, TV evangelists that will tell you, man, you serve Jesus and everything's going to go great. Every day is going to be a Friday. That's a lie from hell. That's not theologically sound according to the Word of God. You may find yourself in valley after valley after valley. You may find yourself in storm after storm after storm. You may find yourself, as David says here, in calamity after calamity after calamity. So what do? Do you run? What do you do? Do you quit? You say, Pastor, you used the word quit. You mean you had times in your ministry where you felt like quitting? Sure. Absolutely, I felt like that. Times in ministry where you wondered if you're really even making an impact, making a difference. And I know that's the devil just whispering in your ear. But here's what I've learned about my God. He never wastes a trial. He never wastes a trial in the life of his children. And he's trying to use that trial to give him glory. We'll dig into this next week. But David says, from heaven he'll send forth his mercy and truth. David needed mercy. He could have killed Saul. What kept him from killing Saul? The mercy of God and the truth of God's word. You let the Lord Jesus do that. You let the Lord Jesus take care of that. He will. He'll take care of it. He said, Pastor, yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. That may be true. You don't understand what I'm dealing with right now. That very well may be true. But here's what I do know. I may not know what you're necessarily dealing with and the whole, all the dynamics of it. But here's one thing I do know. God will help you. God will help you. He'll provide. He'll take care of you. And my encouragement to you tonight, and I hope you'll see this throughout your mind this week. My encouragement to you tonight will be the illustration of that mama hen and her little chicks. When danger comes, get under her wings, man. When danger comes, get under the wings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He hasn't led you this far to let you go now, amen? He hasn't brought us this far to let us go now. No, he will take care of us. He'll watch over us, and he'll provide. And one of these days, you'll come out of the cave, as David does, singing praises unto your God, even in the midst of the cave, singing praises unto your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what David's going to do. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. We trust that the Lord has touched your heart. You need to respond. He'll give you an opportunity to do that. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, I encourage you right now to repent of your sin. Believe the gospel. Believe the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Ask God to save you. He'll save you. He'll change your life. I promise you he will. Maybe that's your desire. Maybe you have prayer requests. Maybe some things in your heart you just want to come to the altar and pray about. Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray about something in the life of one of your friends or family members. We give you an opportunity. What's your number, bud?
410.
Hymn 410. Hymn number 410. You come as we sing.
Quick announcements. Don't forget, Pastor mentioned earlier, the senior outing this Thursday. Bus to leave here at 10:30 a.m. Also, let me mention to you about the couples retreat. If you'd like to help somebody, maybe a family or a couple that's not able to go because of financial reasons, if you'd like to help, just see me. See me tonight if you can, and we'd be happy to pass that on to a family or a couple that could use the help to go. Also, don't forget, on the Welcome Center is the Trunk or Treat for Awana sign-up list. If you'd like to decorate your truck or donate, decorate your trunk or donate candy, you can sign up back there at the Welcome Center. All right? We'll be dismissed in prayer, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Brother Brian, will you close us in prayer, please?